The only thing bipartisan about the measures so far is the opposition to them.
That's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, and he's talking about health care. The only thing bipartisan about what's being considered on Capitol Hill is the opposition to what's being called the Democrat or the Obama plan to reform health care. The rhetoric has sped up, even though the progress towards a vote has slowed down. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, continues with us now. Todd, I'm trying desperately to get a sort of consumer angle here. If I'm a person who's concerned about my health insurance or health care, depending on what you want to call it, what do I keep my eye on here?
Well, there are a couple. Well, John, there are hundreds of moving parts in terms of what consumers should worry about. It's just the reality of it. I mean, like we mentioned before, there's a 5-hour seminar for members today to learn all about this. Now, they're
big
talking mostly about
there.
Cost. I think they're allowed to just roll in and roll out whenever they want to. But Mondays are pretty slow on the Hill, so they should devote all 5 hours to it.
What's the price tag look like at this point of this plan that's being considered?
Just about $1 trillion.
Right.
Now don't forget, there is no plan capital P because we have several bills still in process.
Right.
The bill everybody's talking about this week, of course, is mostly the House bill, because that's the one that could get a vote this week by the end of the week. And that one's not exactly slowing down. Nancy Pelosi says she's going to have a vote on it, and we'll see if she can follow through. The Senate has definitely slowed down. They're still negotiating like crazy, but they won't vote until September. I know there are a number of issues. Health insurance coverage. Will you be able to get coverage? Will your employer have to give you coverage? And in fact, the whole point of these bills is to require people to have coverage, not only individuals, but also for employers, most employers, except for very small ones, to offer it.
How's that going to work? Let me just stop you there. I mean, is it going to be, with your driver's license, you can't get registered unless you show proof of insurance. What are they going to stop you from doing if you can't show proof of health care insurance based on how this legislation is evolving?
You got to pay a fine.
Uh-huh.
And the fines are different in every bill. In the Senate Health Committee bill, most people would pay about $750 a year if they refuse to get health insurance. The House bill works a little bit differently. It's sort of a sliding scale depending on income. If you're a lower income person, up to 400% of the poverty level, you actually get quite a bit of federal help to get insurance. So
that's the subsidy part.
That's the subsidy part. That's one of the subsidy parts.
Well, hugely helpful. I mean, a fine. I get it. $750 fine. Okay, that is great. You know, the other consumer angle that I dug deep to try to find involved this that David Axelrod referred to yesterday, and I know you're all over this particular issue. It involves taxing, sort of golden, really high-value employer-offered health care plans.
What he said was that this was this was an intriguing idea to put an excise tax on high-end healthcare policies like the ones that the executives at Goldman Sachs have, the $40,000 policies. His big interest is in keeping the yoke of this, the burden of this, off of the middle class.
Now, if you're a consumer who works at a place like Goldman Sachs and has a really high-end healthcare plan, are you worried at this moment, this morning, about being taxed for that healthcare benefit as income?
Boogeyman alert. Like, all of a sudden, this is all about Goldman Sachs, right?
Yeah, right.
buzzword of the week. It depends, yes. And the answer is, what will be the definition of this gold-plated Cadillac plan? When they first started this debate, it was like $14,000. They were going to tax anything above that. Right now, taxpayers subsidize insurance. Nobody pays tax on their private insurance. And economists think that's one of the biggest things wrong with the system. They need revenue for this plan, John, $1 trillion, and they got to raise the money.
Right.
So they have to find a value of insurance above which they can tax it in a politically palatable way. So going after, quote, Goldman's, who's on the side of Goldman Sachs right now? You, me? They just posted record profits after being on TARP for a year. So calling it the Goldman Sachs tax, I suppose, is a politically great way to do it.
But the GOP has a legitimate issue, and that is, if it opens the door to those plans being taxed, virtually every benefit could be taxed ultimately, and that is something that will play for the GOP, correct?
It could, but that's certainly not going to happen in this debate, because the president has said, and Democrats have said clearly, this bill is to help the middle class. So you don't want to turn around and start taxing health benefits of working everyday people. They're trying to keep this health benefits tax in the realm of the rich. The House is talking about a surtax on millionaires to fund this bill, which is on people who households that make $1 million a year or more. Employers would have to pay a fine if they don't offer insurance, and they're trying to keep that out of the small employers.
Thanks for the help trying to find some consumer angles. I think you did a heck of a job there, Todd, and that's why we call
John.
Every week.
Oh, Twillag.